Okay, are you ready for a journey?
Amen.
Say, Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
That you have given me ears to hear.
That you have given me ears to
hear. And spiritual ears.
Spiritual ears.
And spiritual eyes to see.
And spiritual eyes to see.
What you've prepared.
What you've prepared.
Just for me.
Just for me.
Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be using the Amplified. And the reason for that is because there's a few extra words that help to bring a real awareness of what he wants us to understand and see. And we're going in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be talking about us as believers. And sometimes we underestimate our citizenship. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20. But we are citizens of the state. Some of you would say Massachusetts. Commonwealth, Massachusetts. Homeland. U.S. of A. But that's not what the word says. The word says, which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Said we are spirit beings, we have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in this earth suit having a earthly experience. Now that's a lot to digest, but it is the truth. So when you're speaking about who you are in Christ, we're talking about your spirit being having come alive through the impregnation of your spirit by the Holy Spirit. When you said yes to Jesus, you became a new creation.
Amen.
You now become a citizen of the commonwealth and homeland of heaven. So you may be here in the US of A, but in reality, you are more than all those things. You are a heavenly personality. And you're living in an earth suit that's got some flaws.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
How many have flaws? Thank you. How many have emotional flaws? Thank you. But who will transform us? Aha. Verse 21. Who will transform and fashion anew the body. So you've got what? A transformation coming up in this body.
Amen. Thank you.
This body of our humiliation to conform to and to be like the body of his glory and majesty, by exerting that power which enables him even to subject everything to himself. That's a mouthful. A lot of times we are so fashioned from religious traditions that we are living with an escape mentality. Well, when I get to heaven, I'll be perfect.
Amen.
How many can believe that? Why wait?
Right. Right.
What's this waiting for? Why put everything off into the future? What about letting him transform us now? This was written 2,000 years ago, and people are still waiting for it to happen. Think about it.
Amen.
So do we believe our opinion, our religious traditions, or do we believe what God says about us?
What God says about us.
Aha! What God says about you and me will give you new patterns of thinking. Okay? A few months ago, I was having dinner, and I had this incredible lump on my hand. It was yay high. It looked like a good-sized jelly bean. Okay? And I reminded you, some of you, that I prayed for it. And it's still got a little tiny little leftover that you can see, a little lump there. And about a week and a half, 2 weeks after I prayed, I realized it was gone. But then it tried to form again. Why is it trying to form again?
To make you disbelieve.
To make me believe that it's not fully healed or delivered. So what's my job? Is it to look at this problem and say, oh my God, I'm not healed? My job is to stand firm that what he started, he will
finish it.
Now, I'm using my own hand because everybody looks at their flaws, and the enemy wants you to see every flaw you have in you. Amen? So while I'm focusing on your flaws, I'm off the hook. So I can complain about you, get away with it, and call it prayer.
Come on now.
See, the Holy Spirit this morning was telling me, the scripture says, confess your sins to each other. James 4. Now, in my book, when I go to a Christian believing church, most Christians talk about how holy they are and how great they are. But in St. Paul's book, it says, I confess my weaknesses so that I won't get proud over what God has done in me.
Amen.
Oh, well, I don't want to talk about my failures. I want to talk about the great things that have happened to me. I can tell you that my failures are still under construction. Now, God is recreating, but he's doing it in pieces. And in increments, little pieces at a time, not always understood by my brain.
Amen.
Because my brain would like it to be done yesterday.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So, St. Paul says, I glory in my weaknesses. I glory in them. Well, now, wait a minute. I don't feel like glorying in what I've done wrong. Yet, that's what keeps me humble.
Yeah.
When you and I are tempted to speak about someone else because we see their failure or see their mistakes, we should cover their mistakes.
Amen.
New concept.
Yeah. So when you cover their mistakes, what are you doing? You're doing exactly what Jesus says has happened to you. You're transforming and fashioning them anew. And you're keeping yourself humble and conforming yourself to the body and believing that Jesus in them will raise them up as you intercede for them. So while you're praying for them, what's God doing in you? Pray for one another that
you may be healed.
So who's going to receive the healing as you cover whatever weakness you see in your friend? Yeah. Now, that doesn't seem logical because, after all, everybody knows so-and-so is such a dishonest person. They did me wrong. They mistreated me. And they deserve a good slap in the right place, adjusted correctly, sometimes with a foot.
My foot. About to be my foot.
You're catching on, right?
Yep.
But the Holy Ghost would say, ah. The woman that's caught in adultery is brought before Jesus, thrown on the floor like a rag.
Yep.
The guy never showed up.
Of course not.
Because he gets away with it.
Jesus, he just keeps right on walking.
Got it?
Yeah, got it.
And they present the Holy Spirit a major issue. And you know something? It's kind of neat that it speaks about this is done in a courtyard. How many know that in the courtyards of Jerusalem, there were no dirt? It was stone. So Jesus knelt on the stone, and I believe what he was doing is putting down the Ten Commandments. Yeah, tablets. And he was writing down the 10 things that we should not be doing. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And then he says to those that were accusing her, well, those of you who have no sin, because he gave them the list, because that's what they lived under. Yeah. They lived under the law. Amen? Throw the first stone. And the oldest person took off first. Why?
He had more, probably lived longer.
Look at your neighbor, say, the longer you live.
The longer you live.
The more aware.
The more aware.
You'll be of your weaknesses. And how grateful you'll be. That Jesus took care of it.
Jesus took care of it.
No more condemnation.
No more condemnation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Think about this now. Here he's got to face this lady and rebuild her. And he says to her, where are your accusers? And she, they're gone. And he said, neither do I condemn you. See, some people think Romans chapter 8, 1 was a mistake by Paul. But Jesus says, I am not condemning you. They are not condemning you because they took off. They know their own guilt. And I'm covering your sin. I am covering your sin. He was the author and finisher. Did she recognize who he was?
No.
No, she didn't. I'm sure she didn't. But did she take it as truth? So she walked away without guilt or condemnation, and God had set her free.
Amen.
Did she realize it was God? No, I don't believe she realized it was God. She might have realized it later after the resurrection.
Yeah, we all realize it later. Yeah. Amen.
Now, I got one for you because I'm going to duplicate what I was taught yesterday. And it was an awesome teaching, and I want to give it to you because it's so intense. You've got Jesus celebrating in a feast, John chapter 5. And he goes to this feast, and there are all kinds of people at the pool of Bethesda, and there's one guy waiting, and he's totally crippled. He is totally dependent on others to get him into the pool. And that's his focus. Think about who shows up. Nobody's here to help me, so I can't get in there, so I can get healed. Everybody gets in line before me, and obviously they get healed before I do. And what about me? Yeah, I know. Joyce Myers.
Yeah, Joyce.
She was a great teacher and still is.
Amen.
But what I'm getting at is, here the Son of God shows up, faces him, and says to him, what's your problem? And he tells him about his problem. Amen?
Amen.
So what does Jesus do as they discuss his issues? Is he now focused on the pool?
Oh, the man?
Yeah.
No.
What happened? He is now focused on... He is no longer looking at what he didn't get. He's now looking at the one who has all the answers.
Amen.
And as he focuses on the Lord, everything about the issues of life become totally, completely obliterated.
Amen.
The message is, when you and I take our focus about our healing and put our focus on the healer, he'll say, stand up and walk.
Hey, good one.
Got it? Think about how we act and react. We are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland of heaven. For it is also we, earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior. Has he come already?
Yep.
Where is he now? He's not on the outside. He's inside of me and you. Who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation to conform to and to be like the body of his glory and majesty by exerting that power which enables him even to subject everything to himself. He's bringing about a transformation in this generation. You say, well, how do you know this? How many know that we're living in a blood moon revelation?
Amen.
Okay? That's real.
What does that mean?
It means that the eclipse.
I'll bring you the book.
Yeah, bring you the book. But I want you to take this out of that book. It's a good book. But take the message of the reality. Don't buy the escape mechanism. Because the escape mechanism is a religious tradition. Okay? But if you realize that this is going to happen four times, okay? And it all comes about on the religious feasts of Israel. When the house of prayer was formed, there was one commission that I insisted on, and that is that we would take time to celebrate Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Can you tell me what happened on the last tabernacle feast that Jesus celebrated? Did you know he celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles? Did he celebrate Passover every year? John chapter 5, he was celebrating at a feast. Okay? So, what did he do on the final and last tabernacles that he celebrated?
Wasn't that where he was late?
He was also late, yes. But he took them to the mountain. And we know that it was the Feast of Tabernacles because St. Peter wanted to build what?
One for himself.
A booth for all. So, what is he celebrating? Yeah! Woohoo! Wow!
No, I didn't realize that was the last one.
Yeah. And then he's transfigured.
Yep.
He's changed. He's glorified. He is now conquering death for the first time. Yeah, he conquered death. He became eternal at that point because the Father's presence enfolded his spirit, his soul, and his body. Yeah. And what's the final healing for us? Transformation of our spirit, which has already happened. Soul is in process. And when these two are in agreement, your body will now declare the glory of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And you will radiate like lights, Daniel. The light of Christ will radiate to you and through you.
Amen. People see it.
Close your eyes now. I'm going to hit you pretty hard. But it's truth. Keep your eyes closed and focus for a moment in your imagination that you are now brilliant and light is flowing out of you. What happens to the rest of the Christians that haven't got a clue?
They don't like it.
They are going to be antichrist to you. And you will be radiating the glory of the Most High. And get ready for a war. And you better get happy about how God is going to treat you.
Amen.
And how he will protect you. How he will miraculously take care of you. No matter what they try to do.
Yes.
He was able to escape and so will you.
Amen. Amen.
Until he deals with all the chaff in the earth. He will deal with it. Remember the wheat grows with the chaff. One is holy and humble, and the other is proud as peacocks. Yeah, and we're talking about church. We're not talking about the world.
Yep.
You can see the world starting to form and how they prepare to humble themselves and serve the people of God, namely Israel. But there is also the Antichrist visible.
Yep.
Wants every Jew and every Christian dead.
Yep.
Northern Iraq. Did anybody see the heads on the poles of the city they took over? And they literally beheaded Christians and they put their heads on poles. You think it was bad in the days of Rome? We're living it.
Wow.
Those that are believers, they will literally crucify them. That's their solution. Pray for those that are hurting.
Amen.
In the nations. We are a protected nation.
Yes.
We are a beloved nation. But we are depending on Him, meaning God, to protect us.
Amen.
Now close your eyes. Father, I thank You that You gave them this word today, that they will acknowledge that there is a transformation, a fashioning of a new body, of our humiliation to conform to and be like the body of His glory and majesty by exerting the power which enables Him even to subject everything to Himself. That's all the things that are fighting against God within me are humbling, but they will be used for God's glory. Every weakness, every failure, every sin, totally transformed by the name and blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Share some hugs with each other. That's all we got.